Open your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, please. Thank the Lord for the privilege to be here. Thank you, Brother Tim, for letting me come. May God bless you and your wife and your children, your minister here. We just came out of a great camp meeting. Thank God. God really met with us. My, how God met with us. The preaching was great. The singing was great. And Lord willing, I hope to come back in August, and you're invited.
Yeah.
Every one of you. You come be with us. Amen. Yeah. Is that all right? Okay. Luke chapter 1. I'll begin reading with verse 26. Brother Tim told me it was youth night. So I said, okay, then I'm going to preach basically to the young people there. Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast to her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Amen. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Amen. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible.
Yes.
And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah. And entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, and whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My spirit doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Key verse in our text is verse 47. And Mary said, My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. I want to preach for a little while with the help of God on Mary, a joyful teenager.
Amen.
One of the leading authors in our day and time and Bible teachers believes that Mary was possibly 15 years old when she gave birth to Jesus. She was a young woman. Yes, she was a virgin, by the way.
Amen.
So I preach with the help of God on Mary, a joyful teenager. I'm going to lead us in word of prayer. As I pray audibly, would you pray in your heart where you're sitting? Only God can make this service what it ought to be.
That's right. Amen.
Let's pray. God. Now, Father, our God in heaven, God, Father, we come to pray to you, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Oh, God. Father, we come to pray to you, the great I am, the only God. Father, you said, I'm God, and beside me there's none else. So, Father, I thank you for letting us know you, the living and true God, the only God. Father, I thank you we don't bow down and pray to some dumb out. Father, I thank you our God's alive, our God's real. Yeah. Now, God, bless this church family, bless the ventures. Yeah. God, I pray in Jesus' name, bless this pastor and his family. Bless all the churches throughout this area that preach the word of God. Now, Father, please see to everyone that's calling this evening to get spiritual help. Meet the spiritual needs of everyone here. No, God, I pray for these young people. If any of them lost in Jesus' name, God, save them. Please don't let anyone in here go to hell. Father, I pray in Jesus' name. God, I pray that God, you'll bless these young preachers. Fill them the Holy Ghost of God and use them. Use us all for the glory of God. Get glory out of this service, please. Help keep our hands off the glory of God. Knowing you said my glory will have given to no man. So now God hide us behind the cross. Help get out of the way now. Jesus' name again, fill me the Holy Ghost. Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Not many years ago, four teenage boys stood before a judge. And that for beating up a poor elder man for just $1.76. The judge said to those boys, "Boys, why did you do it? Why in the world did you do it?" One of them boys said, "Because there was just nothing else to do. We got bored and just wanted something to do, that's all." That seems to be the problem with a lot of people these days, bored. I guess that's one of the reasons why over 1,000 teenagers in America alone attempt suicide every day. Isn't that sad? Yeah. So sad. Yeah. Again, one of our college campuses here in America, not many years ago, there were some students who entered a contest to write a definition of life for the college newspaper. I'm going to give you three. There's one honorable mention that will probably shock you just like it did me. One of them said, "Life is a joke that isn't even funny." Another one said, "Life is a jail sentence that we get for the crime of being born." Another one said, "Life is a disease for which the only cure is death." How sad.
Yeah. Amen.
How dismal. How bleak, how depressing an outlook like that on life. But Mary didn't feel that way. Mary said, "My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Mary didn't live in some big, beautiful city where the bright lights and the loud music and action is. Some of us have been to Israel. I saw Nazareth with my own two eyes, and you and I would call it nothing more than just a village. Yet she said, "My spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior."
Yeah.
Maybe probably didn't have a large wardrobe. Yet she said, "My spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior."
Yeah,
maybe didn't have a bank account. Yet she said, "My spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior."
That's right.
Maybe didn't have a car or carport. Yet she said, "My spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior."
Yeah.
Maybe didn't have a typewriter or telephone or TV or computer. Yet she said, "My spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior."
Yep. Amen.
Maybe wasn't engaged to the city banker, the country rancher. Yet she said, "My spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior."
Yep. Amen.
So what was the source of Mary's joy? Why was she such a joyful teenager? I tell you exactly the reason. I'm going to give you five sources of joy in her life.
Amen.
And I'll let you go. Number one, she knew the joy of salvation.
Amen.
She was saved. You say, how do you know she was saved? I mean, you remember Mary was the mother of our Lord. Yeah, but Mary didn't get saved because she gave birth to Jesus. She got saved because Jesus gave birth to her. She got born again. Amen. Yeah, Mary didn't have a halo of head and wings like an angel out here. No. When this Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that means Mary, that means you, that means all of us. Mary had to get saved just like you and I had to get saved by grace through faith. Plus nothing, minus nothing. See? Yes. So maybe had to get saved. She knew the joy of salvation. That's where it starts. That's where mine started. I joined the church, was baptized when I was about 10 years old. I went in the Baptist Dry Center, came out the other end, the wet center, still off.
Yeah.
We got a preacher to preach revival there when I was 20 years old. And boy, he rolled his sleeves up, as Brother Mays Jackson used to say, and he preached hell hot, sin black, and eternity long. And God showed me I was lost. God showed me I was going to hell.
Yeah, amen.
I never forget when we came to the invitation. We sung the song, Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. And that's exactly what happened.
Amen.
When we came to those words, he fell fresh on me.
Yeah.
Put me on the Holy Ghost conviction. That's what it takes to get saved.
That's
right. I'll never forget. I stood there and wrestled with that. I knew God had brought me to the crossroads where I had to choose him or refuse him.
Right.
Receive him or reject him. About that time, my Aunt Mamie Calhoun went to the altar. See, I'd never seen God move in power like that in that church before or since then. It was my time. And my Aunt Mamie got on her knees in the altar. I looked over there, and God spoke to my heart. God said, if she needs to go down there and kneel and pray, how much more to you?
Wow.
Boy, I stood there and wrestled with that, and I thought, well, if my mama would go down there and kneel and pray, I would, but mama didn't know what I was thinking. She sat in some four or five pews behind me. But I had no more thought that than here come a woman down the aisles. I turned to look, see who it was. You guessed it. It was my mother.
Yeah, amen.
And she got on her knees and started praying. I said, this is it. I closed my hymn book up and I came and knelt on this side. Mama ain't made on this side from my heart. I said, God, I'm lost. I'm a sinner. God be merciful to me, a sinner. God save my soul. And before I got off my knees, I knew I was saved, thank God. I don't know it ever since then, thank God. I didn't get saved when I joined the church. I didn't get saved when I got baptized. I got saved when God showed me as a lost sinner. And I turned from my sin and received Jesus Christ. And God saved my soul. Hallelujah. Woo! I'm glad I'm saved. I hope you're saved. You're not saved. Jesus loved you and died for you. You don't have to go to hell. You can go to heaven when you die. Boy, you better make sure you're saved. You're born again, folks. The joy of salvation. Then next of all, she knew the joy of surrender. Down in verse 38, Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Handmaid there. It means a bond slave, but a willing slave. I like that. God didn't have to coerce her. God didn't have to force her. All God had to do was tell Mary his will for her life, and she surrendered. She didn't kick out the traces. No, she surrendered, amen. And sometimes surrender can be costly. Sometimes some of your own loved ones won't understand.
That's right.
Sometimes people will... Some people will criticize you and find fault with you and call you Holy Joe and a fanatic and all of that. See, I went through that when I got saved. But anyway, it was costly for Mary. You say, how do you know? Because of John 8:41. Them Jews looked at Jesus and they said, we be not born of fornication. You know what they were implying. They were saying you were. But we that are saved and study the Bible know that man had nothing to do with it.
That's right.
God, the Holy Ghost, put that divine seed in her womb. See. But it was costly because soon Mary would be showing and she wasn't married yet. Mary, are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to have a stigma tacked to your name for the rest of your life? She said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Woo! I like that, amen. I like that. Praise God. I remember when God called me to preach, I didn't run one day. I was so glad he let me do something like that for him. If he hadn't called me, I'd be going to call myself.
Amen.
And I'm just old country boy, born and raised between the cotton rows and the watermelon patch in South Georgia. Didn't even pass the eighth grade, made more F than anything else. They promoted me, sent me up to the ninth grade, you know. But I'm telling you, I'm glad. Thank God I'm glad to be saved. I thank God for the privilege to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. He chose many mighty, many noble, many wise. Anyway, he chose the weak things. Woo! That gives all of us a chance. That gives all of us a chance. See? Hallelujah. Yes, the great missionary Hudson Taylor to China. He opened up the interior of China to the gospel. He said, God chose me because I was weak enough. See, D.L. Moody, the great evangelist who shook America with one hand, England with the other hand, he said, most of us are too big for God to use us, but none of us are too small. Wow. That gives us all of us a chance. Amen.
Yeah, man.
Thank God. Your surrender. God ain't ever been a Mary. How do we know? Well, some of the theologians say that you and I are what you call a trichotomy, a three-part being. I believe that because Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, I pray God preserve your whole spirit, soul, body, blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you're a three-part being. Why did God have all three parts of Mary? Let's see. With a body, she gave birth to the Lord.
Yeah.
In verse 46, with a soul, she magnified the Lord.
Yeah.
In verse 47, with a spirit, she rejoiced in the Lord. That's all of Mary.
Woo!
That's all of Mary. Thank God. Hallelujah.
Wow.
Woo! I had 1,000 lives to give every one of them to Jesus, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Thank God. It's wonderful to serve God.
Yeah.
Nothing like it, amen. Thank the Lord, amen. Oh my. Joy of surrender reminds me of what I understand to be true. I heard this back years ago. This full-blooded Indian came in this service and sat down on the bank. The preacher preached with great power and God put him under conviction. He came down there during the invitation and took the preacher by the hand. Remember, I said he was a full-blooded Indian. He said to that preacher, he said, God won't Indian to give Tommy Hawk. So he gave his Tommy Hawk to God. He went back to sit down, but he had no peace of mind, no peace of heart. He came back down and said, God won't Indian to give bow and arrow. So he gave his bow and arrow to God. He went back, sat down, still no peace of mind, no peace of heart. He came back down and took that preacher by the hand again and said, God won't enter to give pony. So he gave his pony to God. Went back, sat down, still had no peace of mind, no peace of heart. He came back down there again and said, God won't enter to give wife. So he gave his wife to God. Went back to sat down, still no peace of mind, no peace of heart. He came down there one more time and said, God won't enter to give ending. He got peace of mind, peace of heart then. That's what God wanted. God wanted the ending. That's what God wants. He wants me and you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God.
Amen.
I think of what Paul said to the church of Corinth, commending those of Macedonia. He said they first gave themselves to the Lord. I love that. It's one thing to put somebody in offering plate. It's a horse of another color for you and I to get an offering plate. See, that reminds me of another story I understand to be true. One time this little boy got saved, and he just really fell in love with Jesus. He stood out like a neon light. You've seen people like that before, Brother Bloom. And he was just of that nature. One Sunday, when they passed the offering plate, they saw him, he started crying when the offering plate got to him. And they overheard him say, Jesus, Jesus, you know I love you. I thank you for saving me. But you know we're poor. You know we don't have any money. I wish I had some money to put in the offering plate. But before he passed the offering plate on, he thought of something. He reached down, untied his shoes. He put that offering plate on the floor, and he got over in it. He said, Jesus, I'll just give you me. Woo! You better believe that was what offering that God was pleased with that day.
That's right.
Amen. Oh, there's a joy that comes in surrender. Surrender. Are you surrendered? Are you saved? You say, I'm saved. Well, then, if you're saved, are you surrendered? Then next to all, she knew not only the joy of salvation, the joy of surrender, but she knew the joy of sharing. Look at verse 39. Mary rose in those days and went into the hill country with haste, into the city of Judah, and into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. Now who was Elizabeth? The Bible tells us in verse 36 that Elizabeth was her cousin. See? And so the Bible tells us that when Elizabeth heard the voice of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, she is filled with the Holy Ghost, pick out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, and which is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And so you see what she did. She could have got in a corner somewhere, and she could have hid. She could have said, no, I'm not going out the door. I'm already showing. I'm expecting. I'm going to put my line on the bushel, but oh no. No, let your light so shine that others may see your good works and glorify your God in heaven. She didn't put her light on the bushel. She put it on a lampstand. Whoa, could see the light. See. She started in a good place, started with her kinfolks. That's a good place to start, folks, with your kinfolks. I mean, when God saved my soul, I went after them. I went after my kinfolks. I went after the people I went to school with. I talked to anybody that was willing to listen. I still have the same New Testament I used back in those days. The pages are stained and worn. And I'm telling you folks are out there, let's go get them. Go get them. There's a joy that comes in sharing Jesus with others. I'm telling you right now, anytime you win somebody to God, they can't eat that fatted calf by themselves. God will let you partake of it too. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God and the Lamb, fella. Amen. Praise the Lord. Men, keep tracks in all your pockets. Ladies, keep tracks in all your purses. Give them out everywhere you go. I have some here, some of y'all. That's one I wrote myself, but I try to pass them out everywhere I go. Yes, you're going to get stopped sometimes. I've been stopped in 5 different Cracker Barrels from passing out tracts. And I don't go in there and push myself on the people. I just take a tract and I just say, I wrote this, you might enjoy reading this. And most of them will take the tract, and I do fine until that manager sees me. And he'll stop me. But the next time I'm back there, I'm going to see if I can find him, and I catch him with his back turn, I'm going to pass out some more. Woo! Amen! Dr. Oliver B. Green probably printed in the millions of tracts. He said they call them tracts because they're tracted. See, I remember the first time God dealt with me, it was reading a tract. I was going to school down here in Tifton, Georgia, ABAC, an extension of the University of Georgia. And my roommate handed me a tract by evangelist E.J. Daniels. Y'all remember him? It was called Gambling with Destiny. But that troubled my soul. I didn't get saved. I got down on my knees. Hey, y'all better listen to this. I got on my knees 2 different times and asked God to save me, and I didn't get saved. You say, well, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That ain't all it says. It says repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. I wasn't willing to get out the sin and bitter, so God didn't save me. God doesn't save you in sin. He saved you from sin. Woo! Paul commended those in Thessalonica. He said that in your turn to God from out. Not in out, from out. If you get saved, you're going to turn from sin. God saved my soul through the liquor away, through the rock and roll away, through that ungodly lifestyle away. You say, well, preacher, I love rock and roll. Yeah, and you may need to get saved too. That rock's not our rock. Oh, no. After all, while I go around singing, I'm all shook up when you can sing on Christ the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. You follow that crowd, you will be shook up. You follow that crowd, you'll probably go to hell.
Yep. Amen.
God saved me, I gave mine up.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. You say, well, what are you saying then? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved the wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I'm saved. Woo!
Amen.
Amen. Hey, you young people, listen, you just shout out to God, lock, top, and barrel, and God will give you more joy than you know what to do with. You don't have to have that crowd. You don't have to have that music. You don't have to have their drugs and liquor.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Most people that day and time got just enough religion to make them miserable, but not enough to make them happy.
That's right. Amen.
All right. Joy of sharing. Joy of sharing. Pass out tracts everywhere you go. See, I remember one time in a Cracker Barrel, and this happened not long ago. I was passing out tracts, and you know, sometimes folks are getting rude with you, you know. And I hate God. And I went to hand this man, an older man, a tract. He said, "Nip," you know. It was rude like. So I started to walk off, and then I got thinking. I thought, I ain't going to take this sitting down. Now, I didn't go over there and get mean nasty with him. Bible says, be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. You know what I did? I was already so happy I couldn't hardly contain myself anyway. I just walked over to him and got in his face, smiling from ear to ear. And I said, you know what? Jesus is more real to me than the skin on your flesh, than the flesh on your bones.
Amen.
I could have said Jesus is more real to me than the skin on my flesh, flesh on my bones. But Brother Blue, I said the skin on his flesh, flesh on his bones. You know the reason why? I knew if I did that, every time he got a bath, he'd remember what I said. Woo! Woo! That's an exciting life, folks. Don't miss it.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Ain't nothing like being saved and living for Jesus.
Amen.
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 George Sharon. I remember I was passing out tracks one time at Ware Show, South Carolina. This man saw me. He came walking over to me, and I said, have I given you one of these? He said, yeah, you gave me one of them years ago. And he said, I got it down the other day, read it. God put me under conviction and knelt by my bedside, said, God save my soul. Now I'm going to Golden Creek Baptist Church where Brother Randy McAllister, the pastor up there living in South Carolina. That'll make you want to give out tracts with both hands.
Wow. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Woo.
Glory.
You don't have to endure the Christian life. You can enjoy it.
That's right.
Amen. Hallelujah. Continent. We can learn that Jesus is our life and let him live through us. I'm telling you, we can enjoy this thing.
Yeah.
He's up down on the inside. Do it. Let him do it. Thank God.
Yeah.
Woo. Hallelujah. Yeah. The joy of Sherry. Next of all, she knew the joy of the scriptures. She was absolutely full of the word of God. You read down here in verse 49 and following, she said, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things and holds his name. And I won't take time to read all this. But she was quoting from the Old Testament. She quoted from Genesis, Exodus. She quoted from 1 Samuel. She quoted from Job. She quoted from the Psalms. She quoted from Isaiah. She quoted from the little book of Micah. But how in the world did she know so much of the Word of God when the Word of God was scarce back in those days? They didn't have nice Bibles like you and I've got. They didn't have printing presses. And it's doubtful that Mary and Joseph had a copy of the Word of God because they were poor. They were among the common people. How do we know that? Because of the offering they made when they took Jesus up to the temple. Pigeon or turtle dove. That's offering of the poor. They couldn't afford a lamb. An ox, see. You say, well, then how in the world she learned so much of the Word of God? I'll tell you how. They had synagogues back in those days, and the people went to those synagogues like you and I go to church, and they had what's called a reader. And that person would stand there and read the scriptures.
Yeah.
And no doubt Mary was probably doing just like this while they were reading the scriptures. She wasn't sitting there talking to the person by her. She wasn't sitting there writing notes about what she's going to do tomorrow. No, she was sitting there on the edge of the pew trying to get all she could. So when Mary gave this song, it showed up. Her song was full of the word of God. I can honestly say some of the best times I had since God saved me has been in this King James Bible.
Amen.
I enjoy this book. I try to read it every morning. Then I go pray, see. But I love this book. You can't go through this book without it going through you because it's a lot. See. I love Jeremiah 15:16. Jeremiah said, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. This book will produce joy. She knew the joy of the scriptures. Then her hurt and get up. Last of all, she knew the joy of the Spirit. She's filled with the Spirit. The Bible says in verse 35, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. There's no one in the world you can be filled with the Spirit and not have joy.
Right.
Because the fruit of the Spirit is love, what? Joy, peace, so forth and so on. See, if you tell me, if you say, preacher, I don't have any joy, then what you just told me is you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
That's right, amen.
Because there's no one in the world you can be filled with the Spirit of God and not have joy.
Right. See,
joy!
Yeah.
Amen. Seems like everybody in this chapter was filled with the Spirit. Look at verse 15. The Bible says of John the Baptist, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Then look at his mom in verse 41. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped at her womb. And Elizabeth was what? Filled with the Holy Ghost. Look at his dad in verse 67. And his father Zacharias was what? Filled with the Holy Ghost. Daddy was filled with the Holy Ghost. Mom was filled with the Holy Ghost. The only son was filled with the Holy Ghost. That's 100%. You let this church, our church, any church, let all the families in any church get filled with the Holy Ghost of God. And then when we get to church, won't nobody have to pound or pump you? You'll be ready to worship.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You'll be ready to worship.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I remember the first time I was really filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't hardly ever tell this. People don't understand. I never forget, I had been saved about 1 year. We were having a tent meeting in Turner County, just out of Ashburn, Georgia. B. Condon Parker, the preacher that preached the revival, I got saved and was preaching that meeting. And I was hungry, I was so thirsty. I knew I was saved, but I was so hungry, so thirsty. One night I came and got in the altar, got out on my knees in them wood shavings. And I said, oh God, God, I'm hungry. God, I'm thirsty. God, I need something. Oh, God, tell me the Holy Ghost of God. See, the Bible says, be not drunk with wine, which says, but be filled with the Spirit. See. And so I got up out of the altar. We started talking, fellowshipping, you know, the service was over. And then I noticed something was happening down on the inside. And it was getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I didn't plan it, but God did. And then there was one of those young preachers came up to me and said, let's go down here where all them boys and girls go to get the hamburgers, the hot dogs, and the coats and milkshakes and get them to come to this tent meeting tomorrow night. I said, let's go. So we got in my car. I got on the steering wheel. Two preachers by me. Three good Christian ladies in the back seat. We headed downtown Aspen, Georgia. All the time is getting bigger and bigger. And I started arguing with God. I said, God, you ain't gonna make me shout in front of these folks. I had never shouted before in my life. And I came up in an old dead church down there in South Georgia, where if you did that, they probably thought you wanted to ask the question. Really? We got that red light. I couldn't hold it any longer. I started shouting, and I didn't stop till about 2 hours later. Once I got started, I didn't care who knew about it. I didn't care who saw me. And I know mine was real because most people try to work theirs up. I'm trying to work mine down. But I couldn't hold it down.
Amen.
You can't either, amen. Praise God. There's a such a thing in these last days of being filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
Pray. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Yes. Amen. Are you a joyful Christian? If you're not, you can be.
Yes.
Do you know the joy of salvation? Are you saved? Do you know the joy of surrender? Have you ever surrendered to the will of God? Do you know the joy of sharing? Do you ever share Jesus with anybody else? Do you know the joy of the scriptures? Do you read your Bible daily and pray daily? Do you know the joy of the Spirit? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit of God this evening? I believe there's one baptism, but there's many fillings. Act 2:4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. 9 words. Acts 4:31, and they prayed again, and the heavens were shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Same 9 words.
Amen.
See, you might have been filled back yonder 10 years ago, but what about the scene?
That's right.
See, water not rest till we know we're filled with the Holy Ghost of God. See, we got a world out there going to hell, and we can't reach them unless we're spirit filled. See,
right.
Oh, God, help us to not be at ease in Zion. God, help us to get on fire. I'm no spring chicken. I'm a little over 71 years old. I've had 6 breakdowns in my lifetime. The tick fever nearly killed me back years ago. But I'm going to tell you, in spite of the fact that I'm 71 years old, I'm going to tell you how I pray. I say, oh, God, set me on fire and keep me on fire till Jesus comes.
Yeah.
Woo! Hey. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Why'd you stand your feet?
Amen.
It's about eyes closed. Musicians are come.
Amen.
I have a word of prayer with you while the pianists and all the musicians are getting ready. Some of you may want to come on the altar while I'm praying. Folks, let's don't be self-satisfied Christians. Father, oh God, Father, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for saving our souls. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my own soul. Father, if there's anybody here lost, save them right now. Don't let anybody here die without God and go to hell and burn to hell. Father, please give us a greater burden, greater love for lost souls. Help stand between the living and the dead, standing the gap, make up the hedge. Father, please, oh God, Father, I beg in Jesus' name, speak to hearts here this evening. God, please save souls. And God, I pray, God, help us all. God, to surrender and be filled with the Spirit of God. Spend time in the word and prayer. Father, please put obedience in our heart, God. Thank you for this good number now. Continue to bless. Bless Brother Tim, this family, and this church family. I thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ. There's no people, God, like your people. Thank you, God, for your people. In Jesus' name, amen.